Go to Hebrews today. Chapter 5. I wanted to look at the topic of exercising the senses. Hebrews chapter 5. We're all very familiar with bodily exercise and what it takes to do that or to not do it, depending on how you feel that day. Well, there's another kind of exercising we should look at, and we'll talk about that today. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So in this case here, Paul, you know, we believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews is talking here about those people are now requiring the basics of the word when they ought to be looking for the meat of the word. So they're comparing the milk to the meat. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." We all know babies start off in milk, right? They don't eat meat right away. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Here God is speaking here about having the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So if he's saying that, and if Paul here was reproving them concerning that, then it must be possible to exercise your senses to discern good and evil. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been saying that you should have done this, right? So it is possible to discern good and between good and evil. Here, they should have known the word regarding Jesus Christ. They should have known that. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying you should have known the word regarding. Now, he said, I have to go back to the basics here. When he said, and if you look at the context in chapter 5, he's talking about Melchizedek and all the priesthood and all that Jesus Christ accomplished. Then he says, well, and maybe in this case, when God told him by revelation to write, well, you know, he said, I have to explain this again. He said, you guys should know this, is what he was saying to them. So now talking about exercising the senses here, you know, we're not just talking here about the five senses. Clearly the five senses are involved, because without your five senses, you can't read God's word. You can't go to the word, you can't read it. You know, you have to read it, look at it. Sometimes you read it out loud, whatever it takes. But we're also talking about the spiritual senses also, and that's what we're talking about. It's a combination of knowing both God's word and knowing how to walk by the Spirit. Jesus Christ reproved those people saying, you err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. He always talked about both. You have to know God's word, and for that you got to use your eyes. You got to read and look at it and think about it. So your senses, your five senses can be involved there. But then there's the power of God to walk by the Spirit. We have to understand what it means to walk by the Spirit. Both are involved in having our senses exercised. Certainly, just by your five senses, and we know, we could look at a lot of records, we won't do it today. There are records in the Word of God where they would never have known whether something was good or evil by the five senses. I remember that record with Paul, that woman was following him around saying, "These men are the power of the Most High God. They speak unto us the way of salvation." And that was true, wasn't it? Yet Paul, what did he do? What did Paul do? He cast out a devil spirit out of the woman. He didn't know that by his five senses, did he? So how was he able to discern that situation between good and evil? Well, that was walking by the Spirit. He knew God's word, but he also knew how to walk by the Spirit. In Genesis chapter 2, the problem is in Christianity, this is not the only problem, by the way, but it's a problem, is that most people don't even want to start with the basics, which is to know God's word. You know, people are very happy to go to a church or to wherever and just hear something, or to turn on the TV and just hear something and never go to the word of God themselves. You know, if that's the level to which I treat God's word, Why should I ever expect to hear from God? Why should I ever expect to walk with Him in all power if that's the way I treat His Word? If I don't even want to spend time looking at His Word, then how do I expect to walk for Him and walk by the Spirit if I treat His Word? I have to know God's Word. For this is right here. This is easy to understand. Five senses, right? It's right here. God had it recorded for us. It has to start by knowing God's Word. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, remember, you guys remember those verses. We'll read it again. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Remember the, you know, God's instructions to Adam. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, God said to him, thou shalt surely die, or that Hebrew way of saying dying, thou shalt die, which really means you're going to die. It's carried nicely into the English by saying, thou shalt surely die. That has more force in the English than saying dying, thou shalt die. But in the Hebrew, that's what it meant. It had the force of dying, you shall die. And we know this refers to the loss of spirit. Because did he physically die? No, but he lost, that man lost Holy Spirit. So after that time, anybody who was born after that time, you know, the Word of God refers to them as being dead in trespasses and sins. That dead part is referring to not being born with Spirit. Look at John chapter 3. We know this, but just look at it a little bit more. John chapter 3. This is that record of Nicodemus coming to Jesus Christ. You know, many, many years later, after the promise had been made of the coming Savior. And John, in John chapter 2, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I love his responses. It had nothing to do with what Nicodemus said to him. He says, yeah, whatever, Nicodemus. Here's what I want to say. I love that. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, that's a good question. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, the water being the natural birth and the Spirit being born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whence it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He said, what do you mean, Jesus? Like, what are you trying to say here? I love the next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He goes, you don't know these things? This was talked about way back. Don't you know, Nicodemus? You're a leader in Israel and you don't know that you're supposed to have Holy Spirit. That's how, you see, you know, this is a good indication of where maybe a lot of Christianity is at. They don't even know that you hear, and Nicodemus was a ruler. Well, there are a lot of rulers that just don't know. You know, and so as Jesus Christ responds, verily, verily, verse 11, you know, and he goes on, you can read the rest of it, but let's go to Romans 5. So he, you know, a bit of a reproof for Nicodemus there, saying, you're a master, and you don't know that you're supposed to have Spirit? You should be waiting and ready for that Spirit to come, because that's what God promised way back in Genesis chapter 3. They should have known that Spirit was coming. And, you know, that's a lot of time. I can understand Jesus Christ's aggravation a little bit, sort of his there, because all that time, hundreds and hundreds of years where God had planned, and you don't even know the plan. And in Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. We now have been given Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5. There's a lot of scriptures that say this, but we'll just look at a few. 2 Corinthians 5:5. It says in verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." See, we have the Spirit now. There's no more tarrying. There's no more waiting. We have the Spirit. So that which God had planned, we've received. We're no longer dead. In 1 Thessalonians 4, unfortunately, a lot of Christians, response to having the Spirit is what? I'm supposed to do stuff with it? You want to ask the question, what, you're a Christian and you don't know that? Sort of the same thing Jesus Christ has in Nicodemus. Well, you're a master in Israel, you don't know that? In 1 Thessalonians 4:8, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." So we have been given the Holy Spirit. There's no question of it. And in the Old Testament, we're aware that after man lost spirit, there was times that God gave man Holy Spirit upon a condition. They could lose it. And it was not the fullness of the spirit born within that we have today. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. So this is before Jesus Christ had completed what was required for man's redemption, his salvation, what was required for us to receive the Spirit. This is back in the Old Testament now, before Jesus Christ came. And look at this. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp." So they're in a war room, they're doing their little camp thing. "And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." So this the man of God told the king of Israel where the king of Syria was going to be. Verse 10, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice." So several plans were foiled by the man of God telling the king of Israel what the army was going to do. So was that by the five senses? Right? Verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He goes, "Where's the rat? Who's the guy who is reporting all the stuff that's happening in our war room, the king of Israel? Which one of you is the traitor?" It's a logical question, right? He's got to be wondering, what the heck is going on? There's a rat in my whole organization, right? Let's find the rat. Verse 12, "And one of his servants said, No one, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." He's not only listening to what you're saying in the war room, but with the queen, those things you were talking about that night, he knows what you said. Right? How did he know that? Did Elisha go and plant a bug in the king's bedroom and the king's war room? How did he know? These records are given in God's word for a purpose. God had this stuff recorded for you and me to understand. Look at what was possible by using the Spirit of God when it even wasn't the inborn spirit that we have, the spirit born within. Before Jesus Christ had come and accomplished all that was required, yet people could walk with the Spirit of God with this kind of accuracy, this kind of ability. How much more, I sometimes want to say the same thing that God, Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus. You don't know that? You don't know these things? And I tell you, a lot of Christianity is in that camp of, they don't know. They don't even expect. No one, hardly any believer that I've ever met from a church expects to receive information from God. Hardly a one. Right? Yet look at what the Word of God says. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Is it that God no longer wants his people to know stuff? You think the problem is with God? Is God's hand shortened that he can't bless anymore? Are things now too hard for God since Jesus Christ came? Has he gone on vacation? Has he relaxed now? Believers have so undervalued the importance of the manifestations to this day, and it still goes on regularly. People take the things of God for granted. We don't appreciate all that Jesus Christ has accomplished. It took a long time for God to set in motion the plan of salvation. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of, you know, dealing with situations that happened where there was only one man left standing for God at times. It took a lot for God to do this to the point where Jesus Christ could do what he did to make spirit available to man. And yet people say, what? Ah, whatever. Speaking tongue. You know, that's fine. I don't really want, you know, not important. Information from God? No, that's not possible. That, you know, that's a healing. It's not God's will. God sends sickness and disease to try us. Right? I mean, it amazes me how little people appreciate or understand what Jesus Christ has accomplished for man. It's critical to understand how God works in you. Here's a great record in 1 Kings 19. And I mean everyone individually, how God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you understand how God speaks to you? I don't care if you're as young as Abby or Daisy or old as my mom and dad, right? Doesn't matter. The age has no difference. God doesn't care about age. God cares about one thing. What is that? Believing. Do you believe him? And it's that simple. It doesn't matter if you've been studying God's word for 150 years or have been studying for 15 days. It doesn't matter. Do you believe him? Here's I love this record. This is Elijah. We just saw one of Elisha. Here's one of Elijah. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, well, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. You know, I've been doing my job. I've been doing the best I know how to do. It's been hard, but I've tried. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thy... He goes, look, no one cares. I'm the only one that cares. That's what he's saying. And slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, it's gone, you know, I'm dying. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. So here's Elijah. He does what he's told. And the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. So this wind came in. So the wind was so strong, it actually broke the rocks. That's quite a wind, right? Broke the rocks. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You know, that's the kind of thing God would do, right? Boom! You know, people expect Hollywood. Bang! Boom! Rocks flying everywhere. Isn't that amazing what God can do? But it says your God wasn't in it. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the altar, and after the wind, an earthquake came. Right? An earthquake. You know, we're just praying today. Doug was praying today. But the earthquakes that happened and the problems, you know, rock shaking and the earth opening up. And here it says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. You know, the things people expect God to be, to do, it isn't that way always. And then look at the last one. I love this one. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, what does it say? A fire, you know, volcanic fire and ash flying, whatever, the things that God would do. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. You know, and it says in verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it. Elijah heard it. All that other stuff happening around, and yet the still small voice of God was able to be heard by Elijah. Do you think God is able to speak to you if he wants to? Do you think he can speak to you directly if he needs to, if you need the information? Certainly. Look at this example. And then he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, right? And so forth. And God tells him later, that there are a few men left that haven't bowed to Baal. But see, God will get through. Remember the old donkey? Remember Balaam, the donkey? Like, you know, even if Balaam wasn't listening, he had to be talked to by a freaking donkey. That's what he did, right? The donkey comes and says, and turned out the donkey was a lot smarter than Balaam was. He was dumber than his ass. Right. But God got through to him. Remember the writing on the wall. King needed to hear, and there was writing on that wall, and the king heard. You know, there's never a question about God's ability to get through, get the information through he needs to get through. You know, you take the manifestations. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, this is the first record of the anybody receiving into manifestation, speaking in tongues, as we know. And verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. This is a great verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's another verse that talks about having received Spirit. and they were filled, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit God gave them the utterance. See, they're the ones who did the speaking. God is the one who gave the words to say in this particular situation. When it comes to tongues. See, how vital and important are the manifestations to you? You know, and that's a question only you can answer for yourself. I'll answer for myself. You know, how important is it? Do we understand how important speaking in tongues is? If it took God that much time to the point that man could actually do it, like, how many benefits are there? You know, you get built up. I don't know, to build up spiritually. I want to be built up spiritually. So the Word of God says when I speak in tongues, it builds me up. You know, it talks about that when you speak in tongues, you speak the wonderful works of God. You speak divine secrets. You magnify God in your life. You magnify Him. How many times do you just need to know God is there? How many times do you need to pray for somebody? You don't know what situations they're in. Well, the Bible says that speaking in tongues makes intercession for you and for the believers. It makes intercession. Why wouldn't people want to do this? How dare any Christian ever say, oh, what's not for me? Why would you ever say that? Why would anybody ever say it? Why would anybody ever think that? But it goes to show you, Nicodemus, well, you don't know these things? You know, you're a Christian and you don't know this? What does it say right here? Right? It's so simple, but, you know, sometimes even we don't treat it with the importance it deserves. Right? Interpretation and prophecy, we do it here in fellowship. You ought to want to be on the edge of your seat, ready to speak in tongues and interpret, ready to prophesy. It should be the most exciting thing. You know, the 2 minutes or a minute and a half that we spend should be the highlight of the fellowship. Because that's God. That's God giving the utterance. Is that the way I treat it in my mind and when I'm thinking about it? Or it's just, well, it's just being tongues, interpret, prophecy, you know, and get over with and get on. It's not that way. Right? God gave it for a reason. God doesn't mess around. One thing I've seen in His Word, God doesn't do things just for fun. Right? He's got a purpose behind what He does. He's got a reason for it. And generally, the reason is to bless His people. It says that that interpretation and prophecy builds up the church. It tells the church things that are needful for the church to hear. Right? That's important. We need that. And here it says, you begin, you operate. So we ought to be on the edge of our seat. I want to be called, call on me. Right? I want to do this. Right? It teaches us how God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Right? We need that. It's not just, you know, exercising the five senses to discern good and evil. That doesn't always work, does it? We need The five senses, we need the Word of God, and we need to know how to walk by the Spirit reliably, accurately, all the time. And that is available to every believer. Because here it says in Acts, you operate it. God doesn't operate you. You're the one who's operating it. How about information? You know, how many times do we need information in life? Oh, a lot of times. That information, you know, and the information for the by and large comes from God's Word. If I'm in a situation, I need to understand how to do something, I can go to the Word and find the principles and understand it. But there are many specific cases where the Word doesn't talk about. Should I go here today? Does the Word tell you they should go here today? Or wherever the here might be? No. Maybe information. Well, do I even think of operating Word of knowledge, Word of wisdom in that situation? Or do I say more likely, well, I'll just wait until God tells me. Well, it says you operate it. God doesn't operate you. God doesn't force you to speak in tongues, does he? If he does, let's talk after fellowship. Right? You operate it, right? You operate that manifestation. Same with word of knowledge, word of wisdom. How about discerning a spirit? You ever been in a situation where things just don't feel right? Something's going on and you know there's something going on. Well, operate in discerning of spirits. Have God show you what's going on so you can deal with it. Or is it to the point where we think, you know, does God do that anymore? Or do I not know these things? Have we become Nicodemuses sometimes in our lives, right? You know, we need to stay alert and sharp on what the Word of God tells us to do, to walk by His Word and to walk by the manifestations. You know, this is for me, but I'm going to say personally, not a day should pass by in your life when you're not very vitally concerned about the operation of the manifestations in your life. Not one single day. That's the challenge I make for myself. How about miracles, healing, faith? Do we have situations where you need miracles? Do you even try it? Or do you say, well, I can't. Come on. That's only for the dead Catholic saints, right? Sorry, it's not a good joke, but do you even try it? Right? Am I even willing to go out on a limb and say, okay, Father, let's do this thing? Right? Because that's what the Word of God says that you can do. Right? All believers, look at Ephesians chapter 1. It's God's prerogative, I know, to give you the information. You can't force God to give you information, but if you don't operate the manifestation, you're not getting the information. Right? Ephesians chapter 1. If it doesn't even cross my mind to do that, guess what? I'm not getting the information. Remember, I operate, you operate. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, God wants you to know that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named. There isn't a name named and that you can name or anybody else can name that can stand up to you and I using the name of Jesus Christ. No one. And gave him, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all abilities in all believers, is what it's talking to. Every believer in the body of Christ is enabled with all abilities. It's up to me and you to use those abilities. Look at Colossians. We'll close in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Christ's eyes behind your eyes, his ears behind your ears, his nose behind your nose, his senses behind your senses. All in all abilities in all believers, giving you the ability, us the ability to walk like Jesus Christ. Use that ability. It says in Colossians 2:6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, Lord, so now walk ye in him. We know we've got that, and then the exhortation is to walk that way, to walk according to all the abilities you've received in Christ Jesus. To not, in our minds, you know, become dulled like the rest of the Christian world who say, well, all those manifestations, that passed with the apostles. I tried that thing, didn't work out. You know, it's the word is the standard for your believing. It's the standard for your acting. It's the standard for our believing and our action. Not the world, not anybody's experience, mine or yours, anybody else's, but what does the word of God say? If the word of God says this, this is the truth. If I'm going to exercise my senses to discern good and evil, I got to know God's word. I got to go to his word. I'm not going to treat it, you know, some dust-covered book sitting on a shelf. I got to go to his word. I got to understand. I got to think about it. And I got to put away stuff that being fired at me that makes me not think about it. Right? Makes me think opposite to it. I got to get rid of that stuff in my life. Right? And then I got to understand the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God works in me. Just like that situation with Elijah. Well, he saw a bunch of things, but it was that still small voice that got through. Because God will get through to you, but if you're not even expecting him to or think it's not possible, you're not going to get the information. Right? Once you get the information, you're expecting it, then, you know, have the boldness and courage to walk out in that limb and say, okay, Father, let's do this, whatever it is that God would have you to do. Right? That's it. God bless.